brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, I was surfing the internet and ran across this story. I tried to download it, but you got to pay to be able to download stuff. So I couldn't download it. I tried to find it again. I found ones like it. But let me tell you what I remember, is that this dog, a Great Pyrenees, was protecting the sheep. And usually coyotes run in by themselves. They're not really pack animals. But a pack of seven coyotes came to this sheepdog's sheep. The sheepdog cornered the sheep in a corner of the pen and then stood there and stood guard. The coyotes attacked. He managed to kill four of them. And finally the other two ran off. Well, they knew they could hear, even the house could hear something going on that night. They heard, they came out and they couldn't find the dog. They saw the four dead coyotes and they couldn't find the dog. So they looked and looked and looked and looked, and they even informed their neighbors, we don't know how he's going to act, because they could tell by the blood everywhere that he was really wounded. So they kept looking for this dog. About a week later, he shows up, he's in the hen house. He had went after the other two coyotes and made sure and killed them before they could come back after the sheep. And they went in and they took him to the vet. They didn't know if he was going to survive, and miraculously he did survive. And we, as people, we go, wow, what commitment that dog had to those sheep, right? And we kind of honor and admire that. But I remember reading stories. This one guy, especially, I remember, he was in a landing craft going into Normandy Beach. And he says, we were coming up to the beach, and of course, they had that big gate in front of them. It was ready. And what does he hear on the other side? Ping, 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 ping. German machine gun fire, right? And so when it came down, he goes, oh, I'm dead. In fact, some of the people, he said, that one guy, at least, who was behind him, said, I'm not going that way. He jumped over, except the problem is on the other side of the boat, the water was too deep. He said, never did see him again. He drowned. But luckily, this guy made it. Of course, obviously, he made it. He didn't have the story to tell, right? And we honor those people because of their sacrifice. What great love the dog had for the sheep. What great love our people in the military love for their country and the people of their country to keep them safe. What great love our police officers have when they go into a bad situation. What great love they have. And yes, maybe they're it's a job and they're paid for it, but you know what? You do it because you made that commitment and you have love. And you know what? Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. It means he's not a person that comes and just takes off when troubles come around. I come, Jesus said, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. He's with him. He's the good shepherd. And you know what? That's what the Father's will was. He says, the Father, it was his will that I come down here and that I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, which he did. Now, soldiers might give their life, but they don't know where and when. They don't have the control of that. Once in a great while, you might have a control over a little situation and willingly lay down your life to save someone else, but that's unusual. But Jesus says, no one takes my life from me. I have the power to lay down my life, and I have the power to take it up again. In other words, no one could kill Jesus until he said it was time to do so. Because they tried several times beforehand. But he's the good shepherd. You can't kill him. But guess what? When it came time for it, when the time was right, God laid down his life in Jesus Christ. But none of us have the power to take it up again. Jesus said, I have that command from my Father. I have the command to lay it down. I have the command to take it up again. So he took it up again because he is risen.
He's risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And that's what echoes throughout Easter Sunday and throughout all of history, is Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He has the power to do so. And if he has the power to rise from the dead, he has the power to take us up and rise us from the dead as well. Because Jesus said, where you are, there I am also. He also said, where I am, there you will be. You will be in the kingdom of heaven with God because Jesus died for your sins, willingly put that sin of yours into the ground, killed it, and called you and declared you holy. And the fact the Father says, hey, I accept that sacrifice because Jesus rose from the dead, proving that he has power over life, death, and sin. Yes, Jesus is the good shepherd. And that good shepherd has a gate, and that gate he opens up to us freely out of grace. All who come to the kingdom of God, to the Heavenly Father, come through the gate. And Jesus told us, straight is the road and narrow is the way that leads to life. That straight road, that narrow way, is simply accepting the gift that God has to offer. Now, I remember one time, a man of our church hurt his back. Couldn't work. And they were out running out of money. So, we got a whole bunch of groceries, and that church did, and took it down to him. And he came out. Nope, we're not accepting it. We won't accept it. They had like 3 kids. No food. He didn't want to accept the gift, even to the detriment of his family. I had to tell you what we did. We took groceries, we stuck it in the church, and we put the receipts in there so that his wife could say she bought them. You know, not everyone wants to accept the free gift. Because why? Pride gets in the way. We want to be our own shepherd, our own master, our own. That's what we want, right? And that's why that song, I Did It My Way, is so popular. Because I'm important. But that I does not have the power to lay down your life and does not have the power to pick it up of yourself. That depends on Jesus Christ. We have to go to the shepherd of the sheep. We are the flock. We follow him. We worship him. We glorify him because it's all about Jesus. But you know, ever notice, because when we talk about shepherd, we got to talk about Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. You ever think about this? Think about this carefully. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You want riches? Sorry. Want good health? Sorry. Want to live forever? Sorry. Want to be better than other people? Sorry. Whatever you want, I shall not want. In other words, it doesn't mean God doesn't want to bless you and you to have things. It's not what we're saying. It's saying that God should come first in our life and his righteousness, and then let God add those things unto it. In other words, be content with what you have. Because the one thing humans always want is want. I want, and they get the want, and they want, right? More. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall be satisfied with what the shepherd has given to me, my time, my talents, my treasure, my friends, my family. We should be satisfied and love those things that are around us. Because why? Jesus is our good shepherd. And Jesus is the shepherd of the sheep. Why? Because he loves us that much. He loves us. He proved his love for us in dying on the cross. He proved his love for us in coming to earth. He proved his love for us by rising from the dead. And he proves his love for us by sending us his Holy Spirit throughout our life to lead and guide us. David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me. Right? He leads me in the paths of righteousness. There's something else there. Something we don't like to talk about. David says, yea, though I walk through the valley. Oh, I don't like that. I like to stay on the mountaintop, you know? Except, if you're on the mountaintop, not much gets done. If you're on the mountaintop, you don't learn very much. So why do you have to go through the valleys? Well, there's several reasons. One, you have to go through that valley because God probably is leading you to the valley. And that might seem terrible. What, God leads me into struggles and troubles and tribulations? Yes. Just like he led Israel. Anybody ever heard of Ehud? Okay, let's try Deborah. Okay. Yeah. All right, there was a bunch of judges. You go to Judges chapter 2, 3, 4. And there's more than that. So Israel would give their life to God and worship God. And then about 40 years, and they would forget about God. They would teach the children they should. About 40 years, they'd forget about God. So foreign nations would come in, and then they finally realize how bad they'd been. They go, we got to turn back to God. They would come back to God, and then God would send a judge, like Ehud, who would defeat the enemy. They would reinstall their Jewish faith. They would get rid of the false gods. They would get rid of the cultural influences. They'd come back and say, we're going to worship God. And that worked for about 40 years. through all these judges. One time it worked for 80 years, but that was about it. Right? Then God would have to send another judge after they had to what? Go through the valley. They were on the mountaintop. God was protecting them. And then they would come down and they'd forget about God. And so they'd slide off into the valley because they didn't put God first in their life. And then, but God, guess what? God's the good shepherd. He would always be ready with somebody to rescue them, to bring them back when they were ready. So sometimes God leads us into the valley so we can learn something. Doesn't it say in the scriptures that God chastises us and that we get the peaceful fruit of righteousness if we learn from it? Okay, so God sometimes leads us in the valleys, yes. But he does for our good. He does it because he loves us. Second reason is you could go in the valley is because you live in a sinful world. You could be in the valley because of somebody else's sin. He said, that's not fair. No, it's not. But Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. That's not fair either. But God isn't interested in what's fair. You know what fair means? What's right according to me. No, God is just. And so God will ask you to carry that cross so that your neighbor or someone else can also hear the gospel and enter through that gate and know the good shepherd. Right? So, yeah, so second reason. That's the second reason. Another reason is that God might want to glorify his name through you. It's kind of compared to the first reason, right? Or second reason, right? That God sometimes will let you suffer to his glory, as he did Job, or David, or the other saints, right? So God will sometimes let you go walk through the valley for those reasons. God will let you walk through the valley because he might be getting ready to call you home. There's a lot of reasons he lets us walk through the valley. But he says what? David doesn't say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't worry, God will take me out. No, he doesn't say that. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, oh, God will just clear out everything and I'll be hunky-dory. No, it says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Now, there's a lot of evil out in the world today. You don't have to fear the evil. What you have to do is stay committed to the good shepherd, because he says he will be with you through all these struggles, all the evil that can come upon you. God says, I'll be with you. He will walk with you. He will keep you safe in your Christian faith. He will keep you safe into everlasting life. He will give you the strength to overcome. He'll give you strength. Why? Because he's a good shepherd. He gave his life for the sheep. Now, we had a dog when I was actually in first grade. We had a dog named Tippy. And I'm in my bedroom, I hear, eat! I go, ar, 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 ar. You know, what was that, you know? Then a little bit later, I hear this whining at the gate. So I go outside, I go out there, there's Tippy. I go, come on, Tippy, jump the fence. It was really hard for me to unlock that fence. And he wouldn't do it. This dog, you couldn't keep him in. If he couldn't jump the fence, he would dig underneath it. If he couldn't dig underneath it, he learned to climb it. We finally had to put a chain on it, but that's the thing. So he had this big gash. I remember when Dad got home, he said, hey, Tippy got hit. And Dad's eyes went about that big, you know. But, so Dad got some salve and patched him up. Well, later, I remember he got out, we're looking for him, and I see him going to a busy street. The Tippy goes up the busy street, he stops, goes, and goes across. He learned through the hard knocks to look out for cars. No. But, what do you think all the stories in the Bible are for? They're not just stories for fun. They are stories to teach us. We shouldn't have to learn like Tippy does through hard knocks, although sometimes we do. Sometimes God has to give us those hard knocks to get us shaken out of where we are, to take us where we should be. However, those stories in the Bible exist so we can learn from others and their experience and their struggles with the faith. So we need to grab the Bible, we need to open it up, and we need to read it. That's how we draw closer to the good shepherd and to his guiding hand. And so we want to use this Bible. They say the Bible is at one time ubiquitous, means omnipresent or everywhere, right? The Bible is ubiquitous at the same time it's not read, right? Unfortunately, that's true for most of us. We don't read it like we should. And yet, Jesus said, search the scriptures for they testify of me. In the words of scriptures are everlasting life. When we love someone, we want to listen to them. We want to open up those scriptures and let the Holy Spirit open it up to us and show us the good shepherd. Because he loves us. He gave us those words. And as he loves us, he gave us those words, he's promised us everlasting life. Look at that. A free gift. Something you don't have to earn. What more love do we have to express to God? But Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know who are mine. And, let me finish that. My own.
Knows me.
Mm-hmm. So realize that one of the reasons you're here is because you know Jesus Christ. Because you know you have everlasting life. Because you know of his great love for you. Wow. Think about what peace is.